No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
High energy. I need it. I need a potch pre-match talk. Hello, welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of the Tottenham Way Podcast. I'm Tom, I'm your host. Joining us this week is the returning Rich Arrowsmith. Rich, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good. How
are you? First pod of the season.
It is.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
When was the last time that you were on?
I cannot remember.
Is it Chelsea?
I want to say it was.
I think it was with Liam. It was Liam, Chelsea.
Yeah. That's right, it was, yeah.
When things were still looking pretty good.
Yeah. How times change.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very true. And joining us as well for his debut, which is long overdue actually, because we were supposed to get you on at some point last season.
That's right, yeah.
And I think we bumped you for somebody, but I can't remember why or who.
It happens.
This is exactly, it's a cutthroat world podcast. Jack Chatterton, sorry. That was hard to say. I went a bit chatty there, sorry. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm good, yeah.
Who is Jack Chatterton? Tell us.
In what sense, like?
Well, let's go with Spurs. So, yes. Let's go with first game.
Right.
Season ticket holder.
I'm a season ticket holder. I've seen Paxton Upper. Obviously, I'm only 19, so I haven't got the sort of depth of experience, I suppose, if you guys have, but in a loose sense. But I think my first game was Birmingham at home, sort of 2004, something like that. I remember Defoe scoring. I think we won 1-0.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
I think that put me off Spurs for a while because it was such a boring game, but found my way back.
It's not stopped any of us, has it?
No, exactly. One thing we've talked about in my first game was Derby at home, and that was 1-1.
Mine was a 1-1. I was Chelsea at home back in 96.
Were they any good back then?
No. They were Chelsea?
Yeah.
They were okay.
They still had it over us. Yeah. They always had it over us.
Yeah. 3-point lane.
3-point lane, indeed. Also, of course, as ever, Dan Kilpatrick. How are you doing, Dan?
Very well, mate.
High energy today?
I need high energy today.
I need the levels.
Some stuff
to be us. Yeah, it's been a busy week for you, actually, hasn't it? Actually, it's been a busy week for all of us, because everyone went to... Rich, did you go to Sunderland on Saturday?
I didn't. I only went to Wembley.
Sunday, sorry.
I went to Wembley, but I didn't go to...
Okay. Yeah. Well, still, Wembley's a bloody trek. And we all went, and it took... I think I've only just got home, really. What was it? I mean, we are going to get talking about it, but how was everyone's experience of Wembley?
My experience of Wembley, it was a nightmare to get to on the tube, but got there about 15 minutes. Went to my seat about 15 minutes before kickoff. I thought the atmosphere was fantastic, a lot better than I expected before the game, despite the fact that obviously not everyone there was sort of a diehard fan.
Yeah, you were saying that someone was sitting behind you that didn't know half the players?
Yeah, when Janssen came on, he was sort of asking his mate, who's that? Like, oh, Janssen's. So he didn't seem to know what was going on, but I suppose that's always going to happen if you're playing such a big ground.
Paul Merson doesn't really understand. The 85,000 Spurs fans, I bet they're not at White Hart Lane every week. Which you'd hope not, because they're going to be sitting on the roof. So, Dan, obviously you went in your professional capacity.
That's right. Although it was a result, because ESPN sent Tony Evans, the former editor, sports editor of the Times. So he was doing the feature content at the final whistle. And so I was just doing post-match and social. So actually during the game, I was relatively free of work duties.
You did three things we learned, didn't you?
I did that. But it wasn't for immediately after the game, it was for the next day. So I was kind of free to... Sometimes when you're doing a feature, you can't really watch that much of the second half when you're like between your screen and the game. So actually it was the first time in a while that I've really been able to watch the whole game.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. The atmosphere... As Jack says, I thought it was really good. Personally, I didn't have any problems getting to or out of Wembley partly because I had to stay for a couple of hours afterwards and go and speak to the players. So by the time I got out, yeah, everyone had gone. Sure. So I completely missed that that nightmarish side of it. I thought that the fans are absolutely brilliant, and it's no surprise really, because I think Wembley, when I've gone previously, has tended to have quite a bad atmosphere. But then, has there ever been 85,000 fans of the same team?
Club team.
I mean, when England fans go, it's quite family orientated. It's quite kind of, there's a lot of day trippers or tourists or people that aren't going to sing or be that involved. So we've never really seen that many fans of one club in Wembley, and I think it was really good.
Yeah, it was fun. You've put in the running order about Poch's press conference. So you were, was it at Hotspur Way?
That was after the game. That was his Friday press conference before Sunday.
So it's the one where you annoyed him.
I asked Pochettino, was it a mistake? He said something along the lines of, "I take responsibility for that, defeat." And I said, "You said you take responsibility. Was it a mistake not to start Dembele?" And you might have read the quotes online, but he did 2 or 3 minutes saying choosing an 11 is never a mistake, more or less. We can try and tweet the audio at the end, or
we will
try and put it out there, but he was really kind of staring into my eyes and I was at on his desk and we were quite close, and I sort of got quite awkward.
Yeah. Did you maintain
holding my arms and sort of mopping my brow, like, okay. But I think it was one of the more passionate and outspoken press conferences he's done for a long time. He told a lot of stories about Bielsa calling him shit and how the players needed to be told they were shit occasionally. He was on good form, definitely.
He's more outspoken, certainly more in the last couple of months, isn't he, than he's ever been before. Do you think, Rich, that that's maybe a sign of things being a little bit more pressurised this season? We finished third last season. We're in the Champions League. We're possibly expected as an outside bet to challenge for the title, at least.
Probably. And also, Dan might be able to offer more insight, but he might be more comfortable with the language. I know that was always, he always said it was a thing, whether it actually was a thing or not, we'll never know. But maybe he is at a point where he feels he won't have his words twisted by people like Dan Kilpatrick in the press.
I think that's fair. And I think it's also fair to say that because he's finished third, and because he led Spurs to a title challenge, and because he's now manager, not head coach, his status has increased, and he is a bit more of a big dog. So perhaps he feels like he has more gravitas to say these things now. Whereas previously last season, he hadn't achieved anything at Tottenham. He's still relatively new, as Rich says, he wasn't that comfortable with English, so maybe he didn't feel comfortable saying these things, whereas now he is.
Jack, so the question that that Dan asked Poch and annoyed him with was about starting Dembele. So we were like immeasurably better in the second half when he came on. But do you think it was a mistake not to start him, or how do you feel about it?
I wouldn't say it was a mistake, because obviously he hadn't played any football since the Euros. He didn't have a match sharpness, and he's always going to be an injury prone player. I know he had a good season last year injury wise, but you don't want to rush him back, basically, is the point I'm making. Although we were definitely better with him on the pitch, I think the main mistake was playing Ali in that deeper role, because as fantastic a player as he is, he hasn't got the discipline, I don't think, because he'll wander off, and especially against a team like Monaco, they're savvy in Europe, they're going to hit you on the break, they've got pace to do that. When if you leave space in the middle of the pitch, that's always going to, you're always going to get punished because of that.
They were good, weren't they, Monaco? I thought much better than I expected them to be. And do you think maybe Tottenham themselves didn't expect them to be as good as they were?
I'm not sure. Pochettino doesn't strike me as the kind of manager there that underestimates an opponent. But I think he probably thought he could get through, and get a result with the team he played. I mean, I personally would have played Wanyama next to Dier. I know it's not the prettiest thing in the world, but it gives you that solidity. You know what you're going to get from that, and you're not going to get hit so often on the break against a side like Monaco, I don't think.
They looked a completely different team to the team we played last year, where Lamela scored that hat-trick. I mean, they were almost unrecognisable how much better they were. I think, like you say, I don't think he would have knowingly underestimated an opponent, but I think there was an element of that.
that great?
Yeah. On Dembele, I think it was a mistake. If he starts that game, Spurs don't go 2-0 down.
Considering...
I mean, yes, he was rusty, but Pochettino said last month, Tottenham don't exist without Dembele, and it was half a joke, but it was based
well,
on reality.
Well, we saw on Saturday, and we'll move on to it in a bit, but I know it's all glorious hindsight, but Dembele went off against Sunderland, a shit team, and we did lose a little bit of control in the middle. So if we'd have, say, played Dembele and been at 1-0 or 1-1, is it more of a risk to have him playing and then come off on 55 minutes?
I agree with Jack. He was rusty. He looked a bit rusty on the ball. But yeah, playing for 55 minutes, and I think Spurs probably don't lose that.
What did you think of the performance overall?
I didn't think it was that bad. I actually didn't think the first half was that bad. I think it was a real lesson in Champions League football. It was like, welcome to the Champions League. If you give the ball away in our half, this is what happens. If you can't defend a cross from the left, this is what happens. So it was just a young team making naive mistakes. But I actually thought the first half of performance wasn't as bad as Pochettino made out and wasn't as bad as a lot of people made out. It looked sort of relatively controlled, the way we were attacking.
Well, I thought we controlled the game for about 70 minutes, but the 20 minutes that we were off, we were bad and defensively really bad. I thought Vertonghen had a nightmare. And for the second goal, they'd done that move twice within the space of about 15 seconds, just ball down the line from a throw-in. Neither Walker or Eriksen decided to track the run. Before you know it, the ball's in the box, and then it ricocheted. I don't know who it was who scored, but just, yeah.
Lamar.
Great goal.
Yes, but I thought both of them were good goals, actually. But
Bernardo Silva
looks
like
isn't it?
Really good player. Yeah, on time to sign him.
Yeah, don't show him on his left foot, though, eh? as we've learned. The result means that we must now win in Russia, which is Tuesday, isn't it? Tuesday next week?
Tuesday week, yeah.
So we do now have to win that. I think I said at the game at the time that you can lose a game in the Premier League and you're going to lose games and it's fine and you can make those points back up over the course of 38 games and 9 months. But the Champions League can be over before you know it. And do you fear that we're maybe too slow in sort of getting up to speed of what the Champions League is? You know, we were saying about Monaco not being a great side, but they upped their game from last season. I think we said last week they're not too different to what they were, but they clearly upped their game for the Champions League. So are we at risk of maybe letting it run away with us a bit?
I'm not sure, and I'm not entirely sure I agree with you saying it's a must win in Russia. I think if we lose in Russia, I don't think it changes much at all.
Considering we've got the best, probably the arguably the best team in the group coming up back to back.
Yeah, I see that, but I don't know. I think we could probably beat Leverkusen. Well, we should beat Leverkusen at home. We could probably beat Monaco away. If we beat CSKA at home, and then draw at Leverkusen away, I think what's that? That's 10 points.
10 points. Yeah.
That should get us through.
Fair.
I think Ferguson always used to say 10 points guarantees you to go through.
Yeah.
But ideally, you'd want to win all your home games within that, which is what we did the last time we were in the Champions League.
Yes.
Which made it a lot easier for us away from home. But I think we might find it a bit easier on the road this year.
Mm.
Especially, I mean, the game against Moscow, CSKA Moscow, I think it looks difficult on paper and it's such a different climate to play in. But it could be worse. We could be playing in December. We're playing in when it's going to be relatively warm for Moscow. So I think I still think we've got enough to pretty much take control of the group should we get a good result in the next match.
You're going, aren't you, Dan, to Russia?
Yeah.
What happens if you don't come back?
I'm
talking podcast. Just, I know we should talk about self-air, but so what?
Get Harry Smith to fill in.
There you go.
We've got the gig.
Promotion.
Yeah, got the gig, mate. So, it was disappointing, wasn't it? I think it was a good night. I enjoyed Wembley. I had a good time. It was it was different and the atmosphere was good. Two goals kind of killed it. But then, Jack, I think you said before we started recording that just before, obviously before half-time, Alvaro scores. And the reception going off was sort of bizarrely rapturous. You know what I mean? Like, it spread amongst the ground.
And Ali nearly got in the end of crossed just before half time.
It's such a shame that we didn't, because I think it would have been incredible if we had scored an equaliser. It could have been, especially if you had like 15 minutes to go. You know, it was, because there was, I've noticed as well that there were songs, there was like four songs going at the same time, but all of them were quite loud. it was really great. Just regards to the problems getting away from the ground, what time did you actually get home?
First of all, I mean, anyone who's gone to Wembley before knows that you queue down Wembley Way, you get staggered every 50 yards, and it takes you 45 minutes. That's kind of a given. I don't know where this shock has come from. I think it's always been there.
It's a fair point. I think, Dan, you said it, like, there's never been that many people of the same... from the same club in Wembley, so they're all going to be leaving at the same time. You lose a semi-final, you leave, and the other team stays in. You lose a final, one team goes home, one team stays. It's always a nightmare, but this time I think it really was just about everyone going the same way.
We that morning before work, me and my friend, we drove to Stanmore, parked at Stanmore station, so we were going out of London. And it took us longer to get out of Stanmore Station car park than it did to get out of Wembley. And we ended up getting home about, must have been about 11:30-ish, something like that. So it's a while to do a 10-mile journey back to Enfield, but it's what comes with Wembley, I'm afraid. It's one of those.
Only five more when we get to the final. Yeah. Only five more of them. Maybe six, I can't remember. So Poch, after the game, was something. He was pissed off, wasn't he, Pochettino? Mentioned about passion, and what's the other word that he used? He said there was...
Aggression, was it?
Yeah, something like that. And I didn't think that was the problem. I thought we were maybe a bit overhyped for it. We didn't have the same level of complete control. We were good, but we don't switch off like that very often. So I was surprised that he came out with that.
I think there was a case that... But yeah, I think that's a fair point. I was wondering if people thought there might be a case that
Pochettino was a bit too excited, or the players were a bit too excited playing at Wembley. There was almost an element of, like, we're a non-league team going to Old Trafford. Mm. What a treat. Instead of, we're a team that finished third in the Premier League, could have won the title, we deserve to be playing Champions League football in a huge stadium. That stuff Pochettino said about getting goosebumps in the tunnel, and he said something about being excited to be playing with the Champions League bibs and balls and training. it's a nice thing to say, it's a nice thing for the fans to hear, and it gets people excited. But I wasn't sure about it.
Yeah,
so I can understand what you're saying.
It was odd for him, of all people, to be. But maybe that goes hand in hand. You're saying he's the manager now, so he's front of everything, not just the team. It's almost PR as well, isn't it? So that video of Carl Walker singing the Champions League theme music on Twitter feed and stuff, like, it turned a bit gimmicky, and that was my only criticism of it. So at the game itself was great, but everything surrounded it felt a bit kind of charity game almost.
I feel like the thing with Spurs is we're always going to make it gimmicky. Like, we've always got this reputation for releasing a DVD every time we beat Chelsea or something like that. I think that's just something that the club seemed to sort of fall into. So it's always going to be like that. I feel like, going back to the point about Wembley, I don't know if we were overall, I just feel like we were a bit underprepared to face a side like Monaco. And also the fact that Wembley, you know, can galvanise your position. They're playing in one of the most iconic stadiums in the world. You know, especially Monaco, they're playing a tiny stadium themselves. They used to have been up against it in terms of the fans all around them, that kind of thing. So I think it sort of played into their hands, if I'm being honest.
They had about 200 fans, didn't they?
It was fantastic.
It was so weird. Yeah. I was in the opposite. I was behind the goal at the opposite end, and it was just this little ripple of people when they scored. it was annoying as well, but you could hear them, fair enough.
I was sat in front of them and sort of down to the right. I genuinely didn't know they were there until they scored.
Really?
I heard this massive cheer when they scored. I was like, oh,
shit. I spent about 20 minutes trying to work out where they were in the ground.
Yeah. It got lost, actually. Was it full? I didn't think it was full.
Well, they reckon the attendance was 85,000. So, but I think also the club Wembley seats, that's always going to skew it a bit because they don't come out for the second half.
Someone who works for the FA told me that every single attendance at Wembley is made up. You can't trust... They don't know, is the answer.
Fair enough.
Because the club Wembley seats and all the boxes, the majority of those seats, there's no head count.
And they don't
people can just go in, you can take in guests, you can book out a box. They don't really know. So 85,011 would have been the number of seats sold plus whatever, 10% or 15%, just based on what they think was in Club Wembley.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about Sunderland, because the aggression seems to be a lot more apparent in that game. I thought it was a great performance overall. I thought that there was not a lot wrong. We'll get on to what I thought was wrong in a little bit, because Dan disagrees. But let's talk about, I think we should talk about Kane first. Dan, what's the latest on Kane?
Don't know. He's Nobody knows. There's nothing from the club yet. I haven't asked today. I think he's having a scan today, and
a couple, maybe some of the dailies will pick up on it tomorrow. But
how did he leave the ground?
On crutches and a protective boot. I imagine he'll be assessed today or tomorrow when the swelling has gone down, and then the club will put something out. I'd have thought
most likely going to be a while, isn't it? Left on the shelf at Lots 1882 asks, RE Kane's ankle, give your reaction to the injury time out with this following scenarios. 2 to 3 weeks, doable? I think Janssen is quite handy from what I've seen, and I'm interested to see how he gets on. But how do you guys feel about him replacing someone like Kane?
I think he can do it. I was delighted when he went through on goal and he could have squared to Lamedia, so I was delighted he shot, to be honest. I was thinking it's a sign of he's confident and he wants it and he's not going to shirk, even though it might have been the wrong option.
Also, if you're going to miss in the last minute when you're under pressure, put it out the stadium.
Give a bit of time.
Yeah.
For 2 to 3 weeks, Janssen will be fine.
4 to 6 weeks, Jack.
I think that's going to be a bit more of a problem. I mean, obviously, Kane, even though he's only scored 2 goals this season, he's the focal point. Everything goes through him. He's such an underrated player in that sense, I think. You know, he can pick the team up, and that's a cliche, by the sort of the scruff of their necks and sort of drive them on. But I think Janssen isn't a million miles away from the same sort of type of player as Kane. You know, he holds the ball up well, he's got a good touch, and he always seems to lay it off into a good area. Mm-hmm. Although he's going to need to find his feet in terms of goal scoring, and coming from Holland especially, that's going to be difficult. But I feel like he can do the job. Like, I've been a lot more worried last season where we're going to have to play Son and Lamella up front. Having an actual focal point at number 9, I feel we'll be alright.
Yeah. Dan, considering November is like Arsenal, West Ham, someone else, if it's 6 to 12 weeks and that we're looking at that taking us up to Christmas at least, how much of a problem is this going to be? And is it going to be something that, are we going to have to see some?
I don't understand this question. Like, obviously,
he's talking about
the shorter the better.
Yeah, of course. Well, like, how bad is it? We know it's bad. How bad? Basically, I think the long term option.
We haven't got any other options. It absolutely has to be Janssen.
So unimaginative.
What do you want me to say?
Is this the difference between us being 8th for Christmas or
I see
5th? You know,
4th? I'd hope not. What Spurs have shown so far this season is that they've kept that defensive solidity which served us so well last year, and haven't started scoring yet but still getting results. And I think the jury's still out on Janssen. We don't know whether he looks like he could be a really effective Premier League player. I think he looks really well suited to English football, but at the same time his finishing's been a bit shocking so far. To say the least, he's shanked a few good chances worldwide.
He'll be alright.
So yeah, I think he'll be alright. But if Kane is out for say 12 weeks plus, it will be really important that Son, who was really good against Sunderland, keeps scoring goals. Well, doesn't need more goals than the midfield three. Mm. I think.
Well, Son, Eriksen,
Ali and Lamella will need to all get a goal or a couple of goals each in the next 12 weeks if Kane's going to be out, because otherwise Spurs will struggle.
And Sissoko probably comes under that as well.
And Sissoko,
it was his full debut. How do you think he did, Rich?
I thought he did really well. I really liked him. He seemed to make the right decisions with the ball, which is good because obviously it helped. But the amount of times you see players just do brain dead things, so it was good from that aspect. And he looked handy, and he'll only get better when he plays more. So I thought it was really encouraging.
Jack,
I feel like he had a lot of stick. I mean, 30 million on the face of it for a pretty inconsistent player isn't a good business, but I think I heard that it's more like 6 million a year until he goes, so it looks like a good bit of business, really. As you were saying, I think earlier, he's kind of player who can break the lines, especially against packed defences like Sunderland. I think it really helped, you know, and he's a good cross of the ball from what I could see. Mm. And he tends to stay wide, he gives us width, which we don't really have. Mm. And I think he had a good debut. I mean, that air shot he did wasn't the best in the game, but I think it was a bit harsh because it was an overhit pass. He could have just let it go and no one would have talked about it, but he actually had a go at, you know, trying to get an effort off.
Yeah, everything he did was accentuated a bit by everyone around, exactly. Which is just bound to happen. It was quite strange for me to see us play with that much width. I don't think we played that wide a pitch for maybe as long as Pochettino's been there. I don't remember us being that nicely spread out with Son left and Sissoko right. Do you think... I thought that that team would have done better at Wembley. What, just a bigger pitch, a bit more penetration maybe, Ali behind Kane. I thought that that might have been a better choice. But then who knows what happened, would have happened against Sunderland. It's just a, yeah.
There's also, I think, for Sunderland at home, who were obviously going to come and do what they did and that they were just going to sit on the 18-yard box, we needed that width just to create more space as wherever there were gaps. So in that essence, it was a good selection by Pochettino.
Mm. Son has had two pretty amazing Premier League performances in a row. Dan, has he cemented a place or is it all up for grabs?
I think it's a squad game, so it's silly to talk about maybe cementing a place, but I'm really pleased Pochettino played him against Sunderland, because I think after he was hauled off at half time against Monaco, it would have been very easy to just bring Lamella in or keep Eriksen in and drop Son again. And I think what Son's... He was great against Stoke. He was really two great goals. And what he hasn't had since he came to Spurs is a run of games. He was in and out of the team last year. I think he started the last three or four when Ali was out and when Dembele was out. But apart from that, he was really kind of in and out. So it would be nice to see him start four or five more league games on the bounce and just see what he can do, because yeah, he's been admittedly against the bottom two, but he's been great.
Oh, yeah.
It will be interesting to see what he can do, say against City in a couple of weeks time. You assume if he does all right at Middlesbrough and depending on what happens in Russia that he'll keep his place, and what he hasn't done so far from memory is do what, say, Lamella did against City at home, and what Eriksen did, which just really proved decisive against a big team. Mm.
Standout performance. Mm. I think it's giving Eriksen, well, it should be giving Eriksen a bit of a kick up the arse as well, shouldn't it? Because he was terrible against Monaco. There was a few that weren't great, but he was quite bad. But there's no guarantee that he's going to be back in, is there? And he can take a corner. We should talk about, because Eriksen has gone off the ball in that regard as well. But he had, we must have had about 9 or 10 corners in that game, and I think only two of them were sort of cleared first man, which is pretty Spurs.
Yeah, they got progressively worse.
Yeah, true. But the first half, it was excellent, wasn't it? Like, really, I mean, they're a big side, Sunderland, so you've got to be bang on with every delivery if you're going to outstand any chance. But I think we gave them some pretty big problems in the box.
Yeah, Alderweireld stuck one right in Pickford's arms, which a yard either side would have been goal. But yeah, he was swinging them in perfectly, exactly where you want to put them.
We should have been about 4-0 up half time, shouldn't we? Jack, does anyone sort of stand out? I thought Walker was pretty amazing.
Walker was excellent, but then Walker's been excellent for two seasons. You sort of forget that he used to have a complete clang on him at any opportunity. And for the last 2 years, he's been so consistent. He's grown as a defender. He's very, very savvy, I think, as a defender. That clearance off the line was incredible. He always seems to be in the right place.
Mm.
And Walker, he gives you so much, I think, Walker. Alderweireld, obviously, was excellent as always. Although I do think we miss Rose. Although Vertonghen did well at left-back, I think you really notice Rose. He's missing when he's not playing.
I think it's a good old option to have, though, Vertonghen at left-back.
Oh, yeah. Gives
over
you...
Davis. I mean, I'm a fan of Davis, but...
Davis has been poor this season, I've got to say.
He's not the same player. Vertonghen will at least give you a bit more... enterprise. Mm. So that's probably the right industry word to use. Yes, good word. Dan, Edward, anything else to add on Sunderland that you thought that absolutely stood out? should have been a lot more, shouldn't it? But we did give ourselves a rocky last 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, nothing more to add. I thought it was the best performance of the season. Obviously, no coincidence that Dembele comes back in the team and Spurs up a gear. I think, yeah, positive signs and we keep improving. We will batter someone sooner rather than later.
Can I add my very quick what I think was wrong with the game?
Yes.
So the problem I think that we've got is game management. And I think that it was evident the last season a few times, and we did kick it out of our game slowly but surely over the course of the season, apart from the last three games. I think that it's still a big problem, and I think that our captain and goalkeeper was part of the problem on Saturday, and he's more regularly than you'd like to think part of the problem. So the incident that is my example. 10 minutes to go, well, 8-10 minutes to go, Davis has come on completely cold to the game. We've got a new back line, Vertonghen shuffled back in with Alderweireld. Dembele's gone off, so we've lost our midfield control, and Janssen's up front as a target man. Lloris decides to chip it over Kasri, I think it was, towards Davis. Davis loses the ball, and we're immediately on the back foot. And if it was a better team, they could have scored. I feel like Lloris does this far too often. And I like that we play out from the back, but sometimes, surely, just get rid of it. There's times where you have to play percentages. Just get rid of it, because they're all over us. No?
No, don't agree. That I vaguely remember that. Was it Davis took a heavy first touch and just passed it? It was completely Davis's fault. Nothing to do with Lloris at all.
But
that is the way Pochettino has told him to play. He says play out from the back.
But then,
if you think back to the game, the best goal.
It's Poch's problem for me then.
One of the best goals Spurs scored last season was against Villa in the last minute when Kane stuck it in the top corner.
Yeah.
And that was what, 2-1 up?
Yeah.
At home to Villa.
Yeah, yeah.
Bottom, Lloris has the ball at his feet on 90 minutes, could kick it long to Kane, plays it out to Rose works it up the line into Eriksen, suddenly there's space, Villa have committed, Kane sticks it in the top corner. That is exactly the way Pochettino wants Tottenham to play from the first minute to the last minute. And if you look at the best club teams over the last 10 years, that's more or less how they've played, and they stick rigidly to it. And the only way to ingrain that philosophy, his philosophy, is to stick to it even if mistakes happen. And if Lloris starts booting it up to Janssen in the last minute, that's going against everything that Pochettino wants. So I think he would rather Spurs try to do what he wanted and made a mistake than sort of panicked and kicked it long. That's my view.
Mm. A reminder of that when it costs us something against a team, because it will. It is gonna.
But fine, when it gets us a late winner, I can equally remind you of it.
That's fine. It's okay. Fine. You're gonna die in Russia. So
can we have a little shout out for possibly the worst defensive performance since Sunderland last year?
They're right back.
Danea, was it?
No, yeah. Ajiboli.
Finished Kane off.
I can't pronounce his name.
The Chelsea loan league guy.
Yeah. Genuinely the worst performance I've seen since that Kirkhoff for Sunderland last season.
It was his fault that we scored the goal, really, if you look at it.
Yeah.
Did he slip?
Air kicked it.
6-yard ball. Yeah.
He was genuinely dreadful.
They were all awful, I thought, and I really hope that this is the year that they go down, because they pissed me off so much.
Yanazai in particular, just.
Yeah.
His attitude is terrible.
That was a nasty tackle as well.
It was.
That second booking. Just quickly, Dier and Dembele was just cramp, is that right? So yeah. We expected them both back.
That's all
next Saturday against Barra. Cool, let's move on, because we've had quite a few new contracts this season. No more recent than Dele Alli today, which they, again, Spurs did a nice little announcement tweet. Got to be pleased with that one. Less enthused, well, a lot of people are less enthused with Tom Carroll signing in midweek. We'll scoot over that. But Eriksen, Dier and Winks. Eriksen was last week. We mentioned that already, I think, Dan. But Dier and Winks have signed new deals as well. When was Dyer's?
A week ago? Or is
it? It's all blurring into one, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but we're doing a
I think in order, it was Eriksen, Dier, Winks, Carroll, Alli in that order. But
so obvious they all did it on the same day.
Yeah.
Because Bruce is wearing exactly the same suit and tie. Oh, yeah. Like, stubble's exactly the same length.
He didn't wear a suit and tie for Tom Carroll's.
Yeah. Did he not?
He had a tracksuit on.
No, Tom Carroll had a tracksuit on.
No, Potch had a tracksuit on.
Did you see the picture of when he's standing up from the table and he's got he's wearing the suit and tie, but he's got the like football shorts on underneath?
Yes. Ah, great stuff. Rose and Walker likely to follow as well. All deserved, isn't it? There's not a single player that you look at and think, not too sure about you. But it's all positive, isn't it?
It's interesting. I don't want to mug off Tom Carroll, but I think that one was probably to guarantee a decent fee next summer.
He's only got
so with there. All the others, yeah, it's because they've been fucking good.
Yes, that's fair enough. All of them could quite easily get more money elsewhere. Does that give you? Do you think that gives us a good indication of how they see the club and how they see Pochettino?
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. And I mean, I know there are only sort of quotes to social media, but what Ali was saying today about with the fans and the club and everything, he wouldn't choose anywhere else. But I genuinely believe that it's such a good opportunity for young players at the moment to come and play for Poch at Spurs. I don't know why you'd leave. You see so many youngsters go to these clubs and then get farmed out. No better example than at the weekend where we were sort of seeing Chelsea and City loanees all over the place. Yeah, you can come to Spurs, and if you train hard and you play well, you will get minutes in the first 11 for a Champions League club. It's a great place.
Poch likes continuity and a sort of a strong base to build something on. He doesn't like any uncertainty. It's only be a good thing, can't it, Jack?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the fact that, in a way, it's bad that they're being announced at the same time because, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty over a lot of those players, and you can see that, especially in the performance of Eriksen this season. I don't know if it's linked, but people are going to jump to conclusions. Having said that, it's a massive lift to the fans seeing all these players sign contracts. If Rose and Walker are to come, that's going to be fantastic. I mean, Rose, I think he said the other day, wants to spend the rest of his career at Spurs. He's already like a cult hero at the club.
It surely means the contract's already done.
Yeah. It's been here 10 years now as well, hasn't it?
When's his testimonial?
Yes, getting in there, Spurs. Dan, you put in the running order about Levy's comments today. Do you want to discuss that? Have you written something on it? Should we?
Yeah, it wasn't. One of my colleagues at ESPN in America spoke to Levy a couple of weeks ago, and she sent me the quotes that she didn't use. And they weren't spectacular, but one of them was. One of the things he said was he wants to stay at Spurs long term rather than, I mean, he would say that. I mean, it was a bit, I thought it was a bit disingenuous. He said he'd have a duty to the shareholders to consider any bid, but really, him and Joe Lewis are more or less the shareholders.
Yeah.
You know, so Lewis owns 70% of Enic and Levy owns 30%, which I didn't realise. It's literally them. It's those two guys. So, He said a few interesting things. He said that Spurs might share the Hotspur Way, the training ground, with an NFL team in the future that would be open to doing that.
How do you guys feel about that NFL share? I couldn't give a shit. I really couldn't give a shit. They're not going to be playing the game at the same time. I really couldn't give a shit. As long as it doesn't affect the pitch.
I feel, it's always going to happen. You know, we're going to build a new ground. We're going to have to wring money out of it one way or another. And I feel at least, you know, it's another sport. It's not like, there's a worse way to use a ground than that. Having said that, it's the antithesis of football in a way, American football. And I know that it's not going to have a massive impact on match-going fans and things like that, but I don't know. If they're going to try and push that during Spurs games and things like that, if they're going to be talking about that's what's going to annoy me because it's Spurs' ground. It's not a multi-use stadium. It is primarily Spurs. It's going to be Spurs' ground. So, you know, it's only time will tell, really, I suppose.
Yeah, won't be long until we find out. We should really move on to the games that are coming up at midweek. We've got so many games. It's doing my head in.
Great.
Gillingham on Wednesday. We've got no idea about this part. It's the Justin Edinburgh derby, as Jim said last week. We can only really speak about ourselves. Although, no, Jack, you know who their danger man is, don't you?
Sort of, yeah.
Who is it?
Bradley Dack.
Bradley Dack.
Yes, I think he's came through their academy and he's got a lot of goals for him. He's like a midfielder. I've seen him play a couple of times, like highlights and that. He's very physical. He looks like he can play at a high level. And I think he scored the winner against Watford in the last round. So
that is so they've also got a lot more than we ever.
They've also got Joe Manuel Thomas, I think.
Have they?
Yeah.
Ex Arsenal and Cardiff.
Yes, that's right. So you know, he could always, who knows really, but should be a routine.
Yeah, we should be pissing all over them. with or without Kevin Vimmer. Jed at J_Howlett asked, do you think we'll see Vimmer on Wednesday, or has he somehow gotten himself onto Poch's shit list? Dan, you're probably in the best position to be able to answer this. You've mentioned it a couple of times, but it looks, it's damning, isn't it? He's not getting anywhere near that first team squad.
Yeah, and Sunday was another bad day for him because Dyer could presumably have done with the rest. And Vimmer wasn't in the squad again, was he?
No, was Carter Vickers
in the squad? Don't think Carter Vickers was in the squad either. I think Davis was
the only defender on the bench.
Or Davis and Trippier on the bench. I think to answer that question, he's definitely on the shit list. That's obvious. And Pochettino said this week, on Friday, last week rather, that Carter Vickers was showing more than him and was essentially ahead of him now. So he's on the shit list, but then I don't think that rules him out of Wednesday because... I mean, Fazio played in the League Cup last year.
Played a couple of games last
year. Yeah, I mean, I think he played Fazio against Arsenal when he wasn't speaking to Fazio and no one had heard from him up until that point, much like Vimmer now. So there's every chance Vimmer will play, but I don't think that will hail the start of a great return.
No.
He'll probably be back out of the squad and probably won't go to Russia. It's all a bit peculiar, really.
It's a strange one because I thought Vimmer was a good player. So how do you guys feel about him possibly being that's it, no more? Because he signed a 4-year deal, didn't he, or
5-year deal?
5-year deal.
June, yeah.
So we're making a profit on him basically when we sell him because he didn't cost us that much.
It's hard to make a profit on someone that you left out of the squad for a whole year, though, isn't it?
Is it?
Not for Levy.
He's not. Yeah, he's not. he does. He's got a habit of it, really. How do you guys feel about Vimmer? Let's just have a quick one on him.
I really like him. I think when he slotted in for the Tongan last year, he was exceptional. I think I remember hearing on here, it was like Vertonghen had never been away, and when Vertonghen came back into the team to replace Vimmer, it was like, can't believe you just did that to Vimmer.
Yeah.
It was the worst sort of treachery since God knows when. But I don't think he will... I think he'll play against Schillingen, but I don't think he'll be gone forever. I think he will have a part to play in the season, assuming he hasn't pissed off Poch.
Mm. When has a player been... Poch makes it very clear when he doesn't want someone. When has anyone come back from that? I'd say never. Dembele is the closest thing. Dembele was never... He was always on the bench, wasn't he, that first season? It wasn't like Poch was leading
out
the squad.
He was part of our better performances.
And he was always around the team, coming on for 5 minutes. Vimmer's not been in the squad yet.
Yeah.
Just trying to be positive.
There's no... there's no subtlety whatsoever, is there? Jack, with regards to the team who probably will play, possibilities: Olimar, Winks, Shaun Harrison, Marcus Edwards, Carter Vickers, Carl Walker-Peters. Are we like? Do you think how likely are we?
I would love to see the likes of Shaun Harrison, Marcus Edwards, and Carl Walker-Peters. I don't think Pochettino's going to throw them in. We've never really seen him throw them. Like 17, Marcus Edwards. I know he's a great talent. I would love to see him, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Olimar will get a start. I would love to see that because I thought he showed like good flashes last season. Winks as well. I really like him. He's a really tidy player. I think he's an upgrade on Mason already. But I think it's going to be that band of three behind Kane. Oh, not Kane. He's injured now. Behind the striker, which is going to be the tricky part because Eriksen and Lamela obviously were rested at the weekend, but you wouldn't want to play them just before a tricky looking game on Saturday.
No? Do you think Cissoko and Son? I
wouldn't play Son. I would rest Son for this
game. I'd definitely put in Cissoko.
I'll play something like Cissoko, Onimer, and one other.
Tom Carroll.
Tommy C. Yeah,
maybe Tom Carroll at 10 with Onimer and Cissoko either side.
Yeah, fuck it. Actually, I quite like to see Onimer at number 8 next. Winks is going to start.
And then Winks next to Wanyama, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, it depends what Dyer's, how bad Dyer's is, if it's a bit more than cramp.
You wouldn't risk him anyway, would you?
Even if he's fine. No, but I'm thinking of... I do care, it's just, I don't... Poch doesn't care about it, so I kind of feel like I don't.
Genuinely couldn't have told you where Gillingham was until a week ago when I called it.
Good ice cream there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Kent.
Not south-east.
I thought it was up north.
Shithole, mate. I'm joking.
My aunt lives in Gillingham.
Hey?
My aunt lives in Gillingham.
Does she?
Yeah.
top Jimmy.
Apologise. Good place. I'm from Kent.
Sorry, quick going back to Kyle Peters. Windy from the Flying Cock seems to think that he's the real deal. Like, that he reckons that he should
prove you a the Flying Cock.
No, we I love the Flying Cock.
Yeah, he reckons that he'd like to see him usurp Trippier at some point. He reckons technically he's fantastic. It's just his size at the moment.
When Windy knows fuck all. Okay. Do you think there's going to be any bearing on what from Wednesday, what happens on Saturday against Middlesbrough? That's going to be a bastard game, isn't it? Don't really know that much.
Not looking forward to trekking up to Middlesbrough on Saturday.
Christ. And I'm talking. I mean,
I'm going to train. I've heard it's a bit.
I joked about doing him being shit. Honestly,
hold on. Really. Jeff Stelling says it's really nice. Famous rant.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to see that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
You know.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah. Dan's fine. At the opposite ends of the table. They've got Negredo. They just played Everton. I watched that game actually. They weren't awful. Everton were just better than them, and I feel like if we put in the same sort of performance, we're going to have too much for them. Would you have a similar team as well played against Southampton?
Yeah, I probably would. I'm not that worried about a team that's got Stuart Downing and Nugent. I've never forgiven Nugent for stealing that goal off the phone for England.
Yard, yeah.
He's always, and also he always scores against Ipswich, and I like Ipswich. I'd keep the same. Apart from injuries, we should smash them. I mean, watch us lose 1-0 to a Nugent goal now, but
yeah, from Downing cross.
Yeah, exactly. It's nailed on. But no, we keep the same team. Janssen up top, and then we'll probably win with a similar scoreline that we got at Stoke.
Big call. They're not as bad as Stoke, I'd say. I think they're more solid. I couldn't name many of their players. I think Negredo's having a decent season, but there's nothing around him.
No.
Gaston Ramirez, Downing. George Friend, the only reason I know that's because his name's Friend. And Victor Valdez in goal as well. But apart from that, I've got absolutely...
I like
what have I put on the running order, Tom?
Don't
waste time pretending to know about Burrow like last week. A few words and we'll wrap it up.
Well, there's a few words, but I was trying to mention a few players. Do you know what I found out the other day? Because I was talking about this to my mate yesterday about the Borough game coming up, and I thought Woodgate was still playing for him because he played for him like not that long ago. Do you know he's a scout at Liverpool now?
I did see that a while back. But yeah, it is surprising, isn't it?
It is a bit of a strange one. So that's our Borough preview. we really don't have that much to say about Borough. We never do previews.
Well, I think the thing is, so CSKA Tuesday, Borough Saturday. So is there a case for... We assume there's going to be wholesale changes against Gillingham, but then do you play very strongest 11? He's going to play the strongest 11 at Borough, isn't he? Hoshino will play in his mind the strongest 11 at Borough and then CLAR for Tuesday, but it's not a short trip. It's 4.5 hours to Moscow, I think.
It's on the Tuesday as well, not the Wednesday, so yeah. That's going to be tricky.
Plastic pitch as well, so it will be interesting to see what he does there.
Yeah, fair point. We have got a couple of questions that we should do. Who is it? Asked Richie at Richie Puck or Richie P UK. Would you sacrifice your ankle to save Harry Kane? Nasty injury, wouldn't it? I've done that on both ankles before, and it hurts, and it never stops hurting. And I don't think I would. Sorry, Harry, but you're gonna have to get on with it, mate.
Yeah, I've got to that age, like late 20s, where I still think I'm a teenager, so if I want to play five-a-side, I hurt myself, I'd be like, yeah, that'd be fine. Next week, go down and play, fucking hurts. Mm. Next week, go down and play. And that carries on, and then I suddenly realise it's going to hurt for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I can do about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I probably wouldn't, because I don't want to limp.
Well, Jack, you are quite young. How old are you?
I'm 19. Yeah.
You're 19, so you are still a teenager.
You should sacrifice it, because you'll recover.
Speaking of someone who's never had any sort of serious injury, I'd definitely do it, yeah. Harry Kane is more important.
Good sacrifice. Rich.
Not a chance.
I can't do it anymore, no. What's the worst that you... I mean, I'd maybe get punched in the face to have Harry Kane ready.
By who?
Well, you.
Well,
Well, yeah, but just an average brute. It's an average-sized man.
Brute.
Yeah, like
Tom Carroll.
I get punched in the face by
Sissoko.
Sissoko.
By Sissoko.
But to have Harry.
Yeah, he's got hands of meat. He's got a fucking.
Who would I take a punch from? I'd take a punch from Harry Kane. Because I think that he hasn't really got it in him to hurt anything.
No, that's the thing. He's strong, though.
Quite hench.
Yeah,
he's hench, but I don't think he'd put his whole heart into it.
If he connected, I reckon he'd sort of do a bit long term.
He'd knock a tooth out.
Oh, anyone would. There's not really much competition there.
Ericsson, that's what I'd get a punch off.
Ericsson would be a
slap.
He's
not
going to
do anything.
It? Yeah, it'd be a fist up until he reached your face, and then it would sort of crumble.
I would say Lamella, but you don't know what you're going to get with him.
I think Lamella.
He's got a nasty side.
Yeah, Lamella could definitely push it out of you.
So bringing out some capoeira or something like that, and then it all gets nasty.
Yeah. Do you reckon Poch could knock you out?
Yeah, but he never would. He'd just leave the fear of you always knowing that
he'd do the stare. He'd do the stare on Dan, because he hates him. I think someone else asked a quite similar question in the same vein, which wasn't about hurting himself. It was just a bit more crass. Craig Onion asks, if allowing Kane to rest his testicles on your head for a day and it could heal his injury, would you do it?
For a whole 24 hours?
For a whole 24 hours, you've got to have Harry Kane's balls on your head. You've got to go to work as well.
Attached to him or just separate?
Yeah, let's say he's riding on your shoulders and there's just balls on your head for a whole day and you can't make reference to it. You just have to get on with life.
I think I probably would.
Yeah, I think I would. I think it'd be a good talking point around the office.
You got hurricanes, balls on your head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just doing my bit. Yeah. Dan, you work from home, you'd be fine.
Yeah, and he'd be great to chat, so it might be really good for work.
You get some good exclusives out of it. Yeah. And Jack, you're at uni, so that's the sort of thing that happens all the time.
Not quite.
Yeah, I don't remember my uni days anymore. Anyway, that's probably it. Good pod, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. Rich Arrowsmith for the first of the season. Thanks very much for coming down, mate. We'll get you on quite soon again. Jack, you're back at uni soon, aren't you?
I am, yes.
You have got Spurs season tickets, so you'll be back.
I'll be back and forth quite a bit, yeah.
In and around, yeah. Nice one. Thanks very much for coming down. Pleasure to meet you. Dan, always a pleasure, mate. Try not to piss off the Tottenham manager anymore.
I'll do my best.
Have you got a press conference this week?
Tomorrow.
Before everyone flies out to Russia?
No, before Gillingham.
Another one
before Russia. There'll be one in Russia.
Ooh.
On Monday.
Should you make it?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be at that. Flying Sunday night. Got 3 nights in Moscow.
Are you at all worried about Russia?
Just quickly, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'm not going to wander around talking English in a loud voice.
In full colours.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sensible. I don't think it's going to be like Dortmund where it's, you know, went to the main square and had a jolly with the Spurs fans. It's going to be, it's going to be different, but I'm looking forward to it.
Learning lessons, mate, that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to The Tottenham Way. Thank you very much for joining us. See you next week. Come on, you Spurs.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait. You mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.